Well, as far as vision, if you want to turn in your Bibles, I'm going to be in Ezekiel 37 for a bit this morning. And just briefly going to share about the Valley of Dry Bones. And I believe this is a word for us here at CLCC for 2025. I believe that dry bones will come alive in 2025. Amen? Thanks to Pastor Steph for that little tagline. We were talking last night, and she came up with something close to that, and then I kind of embellished it a little bit. But dry bones come alive in 2025. Amen? So I just want to read a little bit and then talk about it a bit, and then I'll pass it off to who's ever next here. It says in verse 1 there, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." Now picture this, will you? A valley full of bones. Not much hope there. Not any life there. Just kind of a place, you know? A valley of dry bones. Verse 2, "Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry." So if they're very dry, that tells me they've probably been there for a while, right? All these dry bones in this valley. And listen to the question that the Lord has for the prophet. He says in verse 3, "And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?'" Now, if we stop and think about that in the natural for just a moment, our answer would be absolutely not, right? If we look at things in the natural. But we're not in relationship with just a natural God. We're in relationship with a supernatural God. Amen? And the prophet wisely says, "Lord God, you know. You know." Left to myself, left to what I know about what I see in this situation, I might say no. But Lord, you know more than I. And I will defer to how you see this situation. I won't look at it just with my natural eyes and make a conclusion based on that. I will defer to you. I want to know your perspective on this situation. I want to see it the way you see it. Amen? Because remember, with God, all things are possible. The one who spoke the world into existence, is anything beyond his reach? Is anything beyond his capabilities? No, not even for a second. With him, all things are possible. And each of us has a level of understanding of that. What I feel the Lord wants to do in 2025 is stretch us, is grow us, is help us to come up even higher in the understanding, or maybe deeper in the understanding that he is the God of the impossible. Amen? It's not just something that we say. It's something that is deep down in my core, that he is the God of the impossible. And with him, dry bones come alive. Amen? So, verse 4, again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.'" And what does the prophet do? He's like, "Yeah, that's a good idea, but I don't think I want to do that." Yeah, because I don't see how these dry bones can live. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not logical. You know, it's not reasonable to think that these bones can live. So, peace out. No. What does he do? "So I prophesied as I was commanded." I took a posture of humility. And I said, "God, you are God. And you will sit on the throne of my life. And I will come under you in humility. And I will see this situation, although it doesn't make sense in my natural mind, I will see it the way you see it, and I'll be obedient to what you're asking me to do. And when we do that, amazing things can happen. Amen? So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. We're going to hear some noise in 2025. Amen. There's going to be some bones rattling. There's going to be some bones coming together. Because look, as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. Something is happening. In the midst of this valley of dry bones, something is happening. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them over. Something is happening. What I prophesied, the word of the Lord that I spoke over this valley of dry bones, it's beginning to happen. Amen. Listen, saints, it's beginning to happen in 2025. The thing that you have been speaking the word of the Lord over, and maybe it's been a while, 2025, dry bones come alive in 2025. This is our season to see breakthrough. This is our season to see the bones come alive. So all this starts to happen. It says, but there was no breath in them. Listen, God is faithful to complete the good work that he has started in each one of us. Amen? He's not going to leave it half-baked. He's not going to go halfway and say, I changed my mind. I don't think I'm going to do that. No, he is the God. He is the great finisher. He will complete the good work that he started in us. So, there was all this stuff happening, sinew, flesh, they came together, but there was no breath. Verse 9, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And again, maybe it doesn't make sense to the prophet, but he wants to be obedient to God. He wants to walk in humility before his God who sits on the throne of his life. He wants to see this situation the way his heavenly Father sees it. And so he's obedient and he prophesies. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Consider the contrast of this situation. Where did we start? We started in a valley full of very dry bones, a place of despair, a place of there's nothing good that can happen here. It's a valley of dry bones. And where did we end up? We ended up with those bones. They lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Where we ended up is a lot different than where we started, wouldn't you say? An exceedingly great army. Listen, where we start this year is going to look very different where we end up, because dry bones come alive in 2025. Now it's as we walk this walk of faith that happens. It is so important what we choose to believe, what we are intentional to put our faith in. Remember, the children of Israel were miraculously brought out of bondage. 400 years they had been in Egypt, and they are on the verge of going into the promised land. But the word tells us that they didn't mix that word with faith. They didn't mix that word with faith. And so the Lord is giving us an invitation to increase our faith that he is the God of the impossible, that he can take a valley of dry bones and make it into an exceedingly great army, that he can take a marriage that looks like it's no hope, and he can turn it around. He can take the job situation. You've wanted that promotion for years, and you don't know why you haven't gotten it. He can cause you to have favor, and you get it. He's able. He's more than able, because he's the God of the impossible. And dry bones come alive in 2025. Just one quick thing I want to mention, and then I'll pass it off to the next pastor, is that let's be cognizant and let's be looking for opportunities to come alongside people that want to step out and prophesy to the valley of dry bones, if I can put it that way. In other words, the Lord has put something on their heart that maybe even seems impossible in the natural. Let's look for those people and let's come alongside them and be a Barnabas to them, right? Because remember, it was Barnabas who came alongside Paul, who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. That never happens unless Barnabas comes alongside and says, Paul, I believe in you. I know you've had a change of heart. I know you've met with the Lord. I know you're different now, and I know you have a call in your life. And look what happens. Again, the contrast between what happened before. He was persecuting the church. Scripture says he literally wasted the church. And look what happened at the end. He's the Apostle Paul who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Let's be a Mordecai who comes alongside Esther, who ends up saving the entire Jewish nation as a result. Let's be Mordecai. Let's be Barnabas. Let's be a Jonathan who comes alongside David. Let's be those who are looking for people who want to step out into what God's called them to do. And remember, dry bones come alive in 2025. Amen? Amen. I guess, Pastor Steph, you're next. I'll pass the mic on to you. Do you have your own?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, to build upon what Pastor Kurt was sharing, my word for the year is build. And I have been stuck in Nehemiah for a very long time. I don't know if you've read Nehemiah, but it's all about building. Building a wall around Jerusalem. But the Lord gave me three words here for build. He said he wants us to build on, to build up, and to build together. So this year, we're going to build on. Building on means keep going. There's already a foundation that's been laid here at CLCC, right? 35 years ago, I guess, around that time is when the church started, right? And we have had pastors that have been pouring in, have been planting seed in the soil here at Christian Life, or Palmstown as it used to be called, right? And all of those seeds, like the Lord says, his word will not return void. So those seeds are not useless or dead, right? We are building upon what's already been built here. And so this year, I felt like the Lord said, the foundation's already been laid. We're not starting over. We're not like, oh, this is such a big project. Like, where do we start, right? It's already been started. The work has been started. And we have been sowing, like our word was last year, to sow and to make ready, right? And we've been doing that. And so this year, the Lord's saying, build upon what you've already been doing. Build on. Keep building and don't give up, right? How many of you know it can get discouraging, right? When we've been building and building and it seems like we have so much more that we need to do. In the story of Nehemiah, it says, they worked with all their might and the wall was at half its height and they rejoiced. Because how many of you know, if you have a big goal, sometimes you have to have like a milestone before the end goal, right? Like, you guys are probably going to think I'm crazy, but I enjoy running. And so sometimes, you know, you need to have a shorter goal than like 3 miles is the end, okay? But how about that telephone pole that I can see right now? And when I get there, whoo, I made it to the telephone pole. You know, I ran a 5K recently with my daughter, Abby, and she was getting very frustrated. And I was like, listen, look at that. Can you run to that? You know, so just to encourage us, sometimes if we're feeling discouraged, and we feel like we've been building and building or pressing into God. Ask the Lord, I know what the end goal is, Lord. You want me to be completely free. You want me to be completely healed. But what step do you want me to take in my life just right now? A doable goal, right? A reachable goal. And what's something that I can rejoice about that even if I'm not at the end, like, hey, this is a small victory, but it's a victory, right? To rejoice in those things. And then to remember with building on, that we're not laboring alone. We're not building alone, right? The Lord is with us. This is one of my life verses that the Lord keeps bringing me back to. It's Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Right? He's not asking us to do it alone. He wants to be the one to build. We just step out in obedience to the small acts of obedience that he wants us to do, and all of a sudden there's a wall that we've built. Right? And he's the foundation for us in our personal lives. It's already been laid, right? Jesus started the foundation, and we're building upon that with our faith, right? So build on, and then build up, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing. Right? So again, building on, we're already encouraging each other, but to remember to build each other up. And as we do that, how many of you know that makes us stronger, right? Because again, we're not building alone, we're doing this together. And in the story of Nehemiah, the way they got success in building the wall, they were family beside family beside family. This family was building with all their might this section of the wall. And right next to them, another family was building. How many of you know when you have that sense of unity and community, it presses you on to keep going after him with all your heart? Just a simple example. Like at my house, I hate washing dishes. And how many of you know dishes are endless? Like you're always going to have dirty dishes. As soon as they're all clean, somebody puts another one in the sink, right? So I started having my son load the dishwasher and I'll wash the pans and stuff. And I realized if we do it at the same time, it doesn't feel like such a burden to me. I'm like, oh, whew, someone else is helping me, you know, because we're doing it together. And so I want to encourage us that as we are building up and focusing up and on the Lord and on our own lives, that we also look around and remember that we're rubbing elbows with the person next to us who's also doing their hardest and building their hardest and seeking the Lord their hardest. And to remember that we ourselves may need encouragement, but they do too, right? And we have a lot of opportunities here for you to rub elbows with each other. We have the men's group twice a month, the women's group twice a month. We have encounter night where we can come together and seek God together. And also, how many of you know we're only a text or a phone call away from each other, right? If the person is on your mind, just text them, hey, I was thinking about you. How are you today? I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you, right? It just takes a couple seconds to do that. And that reminds us we're all connected. We're in community. So another exciting thing about this year, 2025, you guys are going to be overwhelmed with the amount of guest speakers that we have scheduled to come in. I think there's one a month for like the first half of the year. Okay, and then we have some big plans coming up also in the fall of this coming year. So we, as pastors, are focused on building you up. Okay, we want to pour into you, not just on a Sunday morning. You know, we want to love on you throughout the week, but we're providing lots of opportunities this year. These guest speakers that are coming in are really going to pump us full of faith and what the Lord wants to do. So this year, that's another practical way that the Lord has been telling us pastors that it's the season of building. We're going to build ourselves up, encourage each other. And then the last one, build together. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5 says, as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, who was rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, meaning us, are living stones, being built together into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So he wants to knit us together. It says that we're living stones. How many of you know when they talk about the church, we're not talking about the building, right? The body of Christ, that's us. We're being built together. We're being knitted together. And as we allow ourselves to do that, we can be successful. We can be stronger, right? And so let's link arms and be determined to have unity and do what the Lord is asking us to do. Okay? So that's my word that the Lord gave me for CLCC for this year, is to build. Build on, don't give up. Build up by focusing on Him and encouraging each other, and build together. And that unity is going to make us stronger this year. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Pastor Van.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, honey. Pastor Honey. That's great. Amen. And thank you, Pastor Kurt, not honey. Not to get the two confused. Amen. Please don't. Please don't. Amen. Amen. Oh. Let's do something real quick. Can we all just close our eyes for a moment? And what I want us to do is just focus on Jesus right now. And in focusing on Him, I just want you to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for 2024 and now 2025. Thank you, Father, that You're the God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that You're going to do some amazing things in 2025. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're just so grateful, so grateful. You have great things in store, great things planned for us. But we acknowledge You as King and as Lord, as Savior, as Friend, as Father, as Redeemer. We thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Well, I enjoy what everyone's speaking about. And as I was, and it's kind of funny because as I was just listening back there, it's funny, I was noticing the dynamic of different styles that we preach with. I was like, man, y'all got some good preachers here. Y'all got some good preachers here. I mean, I love the style dynamics of things like that. I know Pastor Kurt has his style, I have my style, and Pastor Steph has her style, but it's like, man, this is good stuff. So, amen, good stuff always. So, mine's a little different, but it all works the same. So it's funny how God was using Pastor Kurt talking about dry bones, come alive in 2025. And Pastor Steph was talking about building that wall, build up. And the other two, what was it, three ones? Build on and build together. I love that. The one that he gave me was just one word. And the one word was inheritance. And I was like, inheritance? I was like, well. And I'm looking as I'm seeing all these things come alignment. It's kind of funny. And when I got that word, I was like, inheritance, really? You know, because I mean, I want something kind of catchy. You know, I want to come alive in 25. You know, I want something catchy, you know, catchphrase, you know, something like that. That was, you know, it's a little easier to remember. But I was like, all right, Lord, if this is You, where do You want me to, where are You pulling this from then? And then He said, Job. And I'm like, no, Lord, that's not You. That is not You at all. That is some other, you know, demon speaking to me, because you wouldn't call me to Job for inheritance. There's no way. And so I was like, all right, fine, Lord, I'll take a look at it. And so I looked through the book of Job, looked for the word inheritance, couldn't find it. Looked all through the book, beginning and the end, in the middle. I was like, there is no word that says inheritance in here. And then He said, all right, I'm going to show you when you're fasting and praying. So I did that this week at one time. And I don't fast and pray a lot. It's okay. The Lord just lead me to do that. It's tough, man. It's tough. But as I was fasting and praying, I was like, all right, Lord, I don't know where it is, but show it to me. And then I look right there, and it's right there in plain text. And I'm like, how did I miss this? There is no reason why I should have missed this in the beginning, because I looked very closely. I'm like, there is no word of inheritance in there. But there is. So I'm just going to read a little bit. It's Job 42, if you like to turn there in your Bibles. Job 42, and we're going to show what the Lord spoke to me about that. Job 42, and I promised I wouldn't be long today. But wait a minute, I did promise I wouldn't be longer today, because I promised last week I was only going to be a little longer because I was short last week. So I get to be longer today. So you guys are blessed. Amen. You guys are blessed today. All right. So Job 42, It's 3 hours. 3 hours. Amen. Y'all are really going to be blessed today. Let me tell you.
Just getting warmed up.
Just getting warmed up. I'm going to take my coat off and we're going to start. Okay. All right. Oh, my goodness. All right. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm getting texts during my sermon. I love it. I'm like, man, come on, people. I love it. All right, so Job 42, verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had had before. Now, all of us know the story of Job, don't we? If we don't, here's a little summary. Job was a man of upright standing. He would always be praying, always making sure everything was good with him and his family, sacrificing cattle and making sure all sins were forgiven and things like that, because that's what they did in the Old Covenant. So he was making sure everyone was good. Satan said, I'm just looking through the earth to find out who I might, you know, destroy. God said, hey, have you seen my servant Job? So God allowed Satan to do things to Job, take all of his family, except his wife, which I found that interesting, but that's a whole other sermon. So he destroyed all of his sons, all of his daughters, took away everything from him, and yet he did not curse God. Then Satan came back and said, well, of course he didn't curse you because he's not in pain physically. So then the Lord said, I will allow you to torment him in pain, but you can't kill him. Then he came down with extreme boils and things like that, very diseases. And so then Job still didn't curse the Lord. And then he had friends come to him. And they were talking about, hey, Job, you've done something wrong. You must have sinned. And Job's like, I haven't sinned at all. I haven't done anything. And then it wasn't until later on we see the Lord came down and talked to Job and said, hey, this is what it is. I love you. You know, he talks about all these different things and says, how can you know these things? And Job understood that, hey, even then, even in my own righteousness, I still didn't curse God, but I was still lacking understanding. And so the Lord rebuked him for the lack of understanding he had, but then really rebuked the friends that had no idea of who God was. And so asked, and the Lord said, if Job, if you pray for them, I will forgive them. So it was pretty amazing. So, just to add to that show, and then verse 11, all his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble of the earth, over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. Because he had a lot. If you look in the books, he had a lot of things. He had 14,000 sheep. He had 7,000 sheep before. Now he has 14. He had 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter was named Jemiah. The second, Keziah. And the third, Kiran Habakkuk, I guess. That's what we're going to go with that. My names aren't the greatest, so nowhere on the land where they found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. There's the inheritance word. And after this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and his children to the fourth generation, so Job died an old man and full of years. The word inheritance comes from the Hebrew word Nahala, which means possession, property, a portion or share, or inheritance as a portion. And so when I was looking up that word inheritance, I was like, well, Lord, what do you mean by inheritance? I see that he gave inheritance, but what do you mean like that? What are you speaking to me for that? And what are you speaking to this church? And the Lord said that inheritance is the word because there's an inheritance here that we have to walk in, which I love that. Now, how that ties into everything, it's like, well, Lord, how does that tie in where the other, you know, where the other pastors are talking? The inheritance is the dry bones. There's something there. Some people see a valley of dry bones as worthless, but how do you mean you know that God sees a valley of dry bones as so much potential? So much potential. What the world may call worthless and dry and beyond what it is, God can call it to life. And there's an inheritance there. I love it because building a wall, there's an inheritance there. There was a laboring of there that we have had late. We have had pastors that have been here before that have labored in this house and built up an inheritance that now we can walk in. And that's amazing for this. The other part of the inheritance, he said, that we're building an inheritance for others. This is not just for us. This is that we're building an inheritance for the next generations, for other people to come into this house and to see them being used of God in an awesome way. Being a Barnabas, being a, you know, being that type of person that says, hey, I recognize what God's doing in you. I recognize God's got some great things in you. I want to see you come out. I want to see that come out, the greatness that God's called you, the seeds. And we want to build this together in community in Christ. Come on, somebody. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So inheritance. Now, I don't think that's just going to be spiritually in this house. I believe there's going to be some great inheritance through many different applications of that in this house. And I think it's going to be through, some of it's going to be through money, some of it's going through emotion, some of it's going to be through healing, some of it's going to be through just a few different other ways in the spiritual. I believe there's more things than just the spiritual aspect to that. And the Lord's going to lead us to where to go with that stuff, but also I want to make sure that we're on board with saying, hey, we have to know who we are. Because last year, it was Sojourners and Make Ready. And we had a lot of people talk to us about our identity in Him. We had Dan Muller. We had Ray Light came in and talked to us a lot about identity and things like that, who we are in Christ. And I love that. And walking in inheritance means we know who we are in Christ. Walking in what we know, what we have. And so I want to encourage everyone this morning in this house that we need to continue to walk in that inheritance. And that inheritance isn't just for us. It's for us to overflow into the next generation, to the people that are going to be coming to this house and really seeing God move some great things in them. Amen? Amen. Well, as Pastor Steph was talking about some speakers coming up, I want to give you a little preview. How many of you want to know who's coming? I want to know who's coming up. So we're really excited to see these people. They've been confirmed. So we're confirmed as we know that they're coming. And really excited to see them come up. We've got, in January this month, we've got Peter Mayer and his wife coming up, which are amazing. They really used greatly by in the spirit of prophecy. And we're just, what our goal is just to let them loose. Like, all right, God, you do what you want to do, and just let them loose. And so it's going to be a great time with Peter and his wife, Pastor Peter and his wife. Then in February, we've got Richie Lewis coming back. So we love Richie Lewis and some Dream Center stuff. So love him, and it's going to be some great things. In March, March, we had some other speakers come in that have not been confirmed yet, so I can't say that one yet. But March, we might have some good stuff. I'm hoping for it. Now, April, yeah, I have to make sure. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I can't say that one yet. April, we have Kevin and Angel. What's their last name? Kevin and Angel. What was it?
Kelly,
that's what it was. I was like, it was Angel and Kevin. So I know that Pastor Steph, and they've been to this house before, and they've been a wonderful blessing, so we want to invite them back. And then in May, I'm really excited about, because we're going to be having, how many of you love your fellow believers? You love the body of Christ, don't you? In May, we're going to be having a joint service with two other churches on a Sunday morning. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to that because it's going to be here in the Newville area. So it's going to be, you're going to get to see other Christians in this area. And I love it because we can then combine together and say, hey, you know, we're all part of the Lord's house. We're all part of this house. We're all part of the Lord's family. Well, let's come together and enjoy each other. So I'm really looking forward to that with the other churches. And then we've got Phil McNeil coming in June. I know I've mentioned that before, but he's the new president of Elam Fellowship. Love him and his wife. They're going to come down. They're just going to blast our socks off. So it's going to be a great time with them. So yeah, definitely looking for that. And then our last one is going to be in September. There might be some more, but our last one's going to be in September. It's going to be our conference. So we're trying to do one conference a year at least, and it's going to be with Jamie Engelhart. And we had him at the men's conference. He was dynamic. He was awesome. And so love to have him back again. And if you want to, he's on YouTube everywhere. So you can go see him if you want to get a sneak preview of that. That's awesome. So really looking forward to some great things happening in this house. A lot of powerful people coming in. And when they're bringing in is we want to see God do great things in this house. And they're bringing in their inheritance also. So they're going to impart that to us, and we're going to be able to impart that to change this world. Amen? All right. So before I get going here, I'm going to, that was just, all right, now I'm ready to preach. Y'all ready for me to preach now? No, I'm kidding. What we are going to do, though, is we are going to have communion. So put this over the side. Yeah, we can go ahead and turn that off. Blessings, Facebook, friends.